Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So, in this episode, there is a situation towards the end, or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there is no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault, because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Craig, for actually behaving. Hey, everybody! It is currently Easter Sunday where we're recording. So if you all celebrate Easter, happy Easter. If you don't, well, happy Sunday. I am here with Zale, another underrated musician. We have lots to talk about, and I'm really, really excited to have this conversation. So thank you all so much for clicking, and I hope you all enjoy this. So Zale, welcome to Wrap It Out. I'm so happy to have you here.
So happy to be here. Happy Easter to you and everyone else who celebrates it.
Much thanks to you. Thank you. And we got a lot to dive into. So first of all, obviously I do want to talk about Watership Down because that came out in February. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because tomorrow, well, for y'all it'll be later, but at the time of the recording, tomorrow is April 10th, which means that that marked 2 months since the song has been out. So I definitely want to get into that song a little bit. I wanted to know where the song especially came from. What was the process of making it, and why did you make it?
So I was always scarred from the original cartoon Watership Down. It was like a bunch of rabbits, and I think it was made in the 70s. And I watched it as a kid, and they were all like tearing each other apart, a lot of blood and stuff like that. And it just stuck with me forever, and I wanted to have a hook that said Watership Down. I produce all my music, so I got the strings from, it was this one moment in Beauty and the Beast. And I think I'm not large enough for Disney to pursue me yet, legally. So hopefully they don't. I'm in the space for a total nuance if they noticed. But I made the beat, made the hook, and in the first 10 minutes, I was like, this is one of my favorites that I've ever made.
Wow, that's crazy. But I definitely did enjoy it. I love the cover art too. With the pink and the girl swimming. I need to know who actually made that.
It was me and this girl named Amy from Tokyo. She's one of my favorite artists that I've worked with. I used to think she was dead, but she actually finally answered my emails, and I was able to get some art that I borrowed and sort of remix it through a photo editor. And yeah, that's the legal way I could do it.
Awesome. Well, all our major props to the artwork. It reminds me of Steven Universe. Whenever I looked at it, I was like, whoa, it was very nostalgic.
Yeah, I wanted it more cartoony. Like all my art, I want it more cartoony and not really anime. I think it just sort of unleashes that childhood vibe, more gaming. Like you're opening a box and everything feels new.
Well, thank you for doing that purchase. So that's very cute. That's adorable. Taking a childlike view, like that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, major props on the song though. And it's been doing really well. And I'm not Googling because I'm not, I actually pay attention to people's streams, y'all. It actually has 14,873 listens, so that's really good. That is amazing. Some congrats on that. That's really amazing. So, major props.
Thank you. Statistics are just so important. I feel like I'm a slave to always getting people to listen to my music, always paying as much promo as I can.
Well, you are not a slave. It's more of just a norm, you know. I
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
say you're a slave to it. I feel like it's a norm because that's what we've all grown up to realize in the industry, to care about statistics and to care about people listening, you know, because everybody does it. Every single artist, they look, well, I'm not gonna say every artist, but most artists, they look into charts and they look into how many listens I have and what should I do. Like, they just look into so much when it comes to just releasing just a track. So it's totally normal to me. And yeah, it's just a common norm nowadays. So I wouldn't say it's a slave. It's more like, you know, like it's a new normal, I guess.
I mean, it's always been like that, especially if you go commercial, which is how I'm starting to emerge. And I don't know, it's definitely hurting my wallet. I'm always very apologetic to my supporters because my release schedule is just so crumpled in because I have to have money for these releases and have the best mixing and mastering that I can do. Yeah,
Absolutely.
it's a lot. And I'm trying my best to get it consistent. I have a project that's finally at that level.
True, true, true. A very valid point. And apparently the release schedule that you have must be intense because you got so much going on. So I can imagine that your release schedule must be a lot. So you handling all that? Like, I could never.
Yeah, it's especially hard when every song just sounds so different and trying to get certain frequencies to match and be perfect is just not what I'm good at. I'm good on the creative side and I'm glad to have a team that can finish my thoughts for me.
Thank God for teams, like thank God for collaborators. Like, if it wasn't for, you know, collaborators or just teams on labels, like I don't think we would be able to do all this stuff on our own. Like,
Oh no, I don't think we were.
very valid point. But I actually wanted to also, because you sent a track, which you all get a chance to listen to. It's called Bunker Boy, which I wanted to ask about because everybody will get a chance to hear it. Is there anything you would want to add about that particular track? Because I know it's not released yet, so is there anything you wanted to add about it?
It's coming this Friday, actually. I got the confidence to just say I'm gonna drop it. It wasn't on the original track list for this project I'm coming up with, and I just said screw it, I'm gonna drop it.
Oh, congratulations! I am excited that this will be coming out. Yay. Yes, this Friday, y'all put mark your calendars. This Friday, Bunker Boys out. How exciting! I actually listened to a little bit of it because I have been busy all day. So I'm definitely gonna like, you know, keep it on loop. Definitely throughout the night, so that is for sure happening.
I think it's like the spiritual companion to Watership Down, like on a different level, but even wilder, I'd say.
How intriguing. Nice. Now, another thing that I wanted to that I wanted to add about. And again, this is just from prior knowledge that I memorized. You actually did do another, you did release other music. You did do other music this year, though. Let's talk about For Instance, which you did feature on, actually. I believe you featured on a track called Paso Flora. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
oh, damn, how'd you find that one?
Because I was on your Spotify earlier today. I was on your Spotify actually earlier today because I was just listening and because I was bored. And I just happened to find your name, like, listed on a feature. Like, so I wanted to ask about it. You know, like, what is Florence and how'd you get involved and how's that experience for you?
So that was for another streamer named Big Duck Energy, and he was doing a community album, and I never do any of that, and I decided to hop in this time. And I didn't even know the song was out. It's been months, and it's just been sitting in my my unreleased folder for a while now. But it was the concept was just to have a bunch of artists thrown together. I had my friends Charlie, Ross, and Shabal on it, and it came together just like that. I produced it, and Shabal added this really sick guitar, and Ross and Charlie supplied the vocals, and it came out pretty unique and different from what I'd normally do, but still had my flair. So I was actually proud of it for what it was.
That's great. That's awesome. Congrats on that collaborative project. It's an interesting concept of the album, though. I'll definitely have to, you know, reach out to him and find out more about it, because it's interesting. You know, I'm kind of intrigued to see the background of that. But we'll continue on. Now, to add to the kitty vibe we were going about earlier, I actually wanted to ask, because this is literally again on your Spotify, but I want to ask about Flower Base. And I have to ask about it because this is literally everywhere that you find him on Spotify. It's called Home of the Flower Base, and it has an emoji of I think a rose. The last time I looked at it, it looked like a bending, like a sick rose or something. And then you put on your Instagram again of the rose and just put base. So what does Flower Base mean?
So Flower Base is my own genre and company. I just remember I was just making really out there art, and my friend said there's absolutely nothing like this on the market right now. It's I'd say Flower Base is a mix of lo-fi and future bass and trap and pop, but it's really just so I can do whatever I want and change and add in genres that I've never thought I would explore before. And it's just very unique, I think.
Very, very unique. And I had no idea that could be a genre. Like, it's crazy. I've never heard anything like it. Like, it's really different. Like, yeah. I'm glad you're taking creative control. Like, this, like, Flower Base is actually a really nice name, too. For a minute, I thought it was a rock band name, which that would be a really nice, like, band name.
It'd be a pretty
like,
cool band name, too. Thinking about it, yeah.
Like maybe in the future, if you meet, like, other people that like your music, y'all could, like, make Flower Base an actual band name. Like, that would be ironic.
Yeah, I know I'm definitely trying to branch into a label space. I have my artists already picked out. It's just a time of when and where. But, yeah, I think Sonic branding was just so important, and I thought it was the perfect name for what it was going to be.
Well, I definitely rock with the name. I definitely vibe with it. And I'm glad you're taking more control into your creative space. And speaking of, you know, creative spaces, I know there's a lot of people out there who is going through the music industry just like you are. What would you say to them? What would you say to other artists like yourself that's, battling through the industry just like you are, and battling for creative control in their own music.
I think it's a very uphill battle, but there is a finish line. I think that it's so important. If you're doing it yourself, you'll just chug on forward, and you'll know that what you're making is, it's different, and it's totally you. And if you get that revelation, there's no stopping you really from doing whatever you want and branching out, being experimental.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure they're praying to themselves, like, thank God we're listening to this interview right now. And speaking of listening, partially, guys, and I'm not gonna lie, this is mostly where you came from. So I don't know if you guys remember Enigmatic. I don't know if the audience remembers me doing concert series with them, but they go by Shroom Tea now, I believe, and they do a music review show. So they paired me up with a way with sending me artists. They review and align me just to get them more exposure. So Zale is one of them. Zale came on the show, back in I believe March. It was early March that your songs were reviewed. And actually, I think Bunker Boy was the one they reviewed. So I definitely want to ask, how did you meet with Enigmatic, and how did you get that review show deal, and how do you feel now that your songs have been professionally reviewed?
I feel good. I mean, I've been hopping through all these review streams for the past 2 years, and it's been quite a blast testing the things that I normally would have to just send to my friends and actually get a wider array of listeners. I feel very confident when I'm showing these songs, and I didn't have that 2 years ago. I'd have to be around a bunch of yes men to feel that type of way, and I'm just glad that I can take criticism and not get that upset about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm happy that you are growing as an artist and taking in criticism. That's one of the main things. Well, that's one of the main things you have to do as an artist to be successful, is to take in criticism and to take in feedback. Like, that's how people grow. That's how everyone grows, is you're taking in actual feedback. Like, you wouldn't even be living properly if you never took in feedback from people, even if it's just one little small detail. Like, it's really important to take in what you can improve on, so you can really grow,
Oh, totally. I mean, there's I if you just have a song and no one's ever heard it, and you think it's just the greatest song, then why not share it with people in some way if you're just not going to release it?
Absolutely, very valid point. Very, very valid point. Absolutely. And I want to talk about this other song, because this other song that you have is your most streamed on Spotify. I want to talk about Meltdown. And I know Meltdown's part of an album because there's two other songs with the same cover. So I definitely want to get into that, if I may.
Yeah, of
See,
course.
y'all, Meltdown has over 100,000 streams. That is amazing. Like, that's incredible. Like, you can't just wake up one day and now it's that. Like, that song has over 100,000 streams. Like, do you realize, how amazing you are by doing that? Like, when I looked at that, I was like, whoa, this guy actually did that, bro. I'm excited for this interview. Like, get this interview out. Come on, like, this guy is rocking. So I want to definitely know about the creative process of Meltdown. I definitely want to know so much about it, and I want to know how you feel about that, knowing that's your most streamed song. So
So out of the 5 tracks from that Ready P, I thought that was like the least gonna be streamed song because I mixed it myself. I didn't use my team this time, and I just said I want to have some sort of filler song. I threw it in there, and it did really well, and I was so surprised. It got on that Discovery playlist on Spotify and just blew up past one of my favorite songs, Do You Even Love Me? And it just showed, like, the songs I somehow put somewhat the least amount of effort into are my best ones, because my first song I ever dropped, I made it. I was 16, made it a car ride from Tahoe, and it got millions of like, plays from vloggers and stuff, and there was before vocals, it was some lo-fi track, and I find it, I'm more proud of Meltdown, because I actually had vocals, and I was somewhat proud of where it was at, but it was strange. It was strange to me. It's like some social law that my favorite songs aren't going to be the one most streamed, and I think this one is, it's one of the more at least lyrically basic, but the sound design is very wild and emotional on my synth work.
Wow. That's literally a meltdown. Y'all get it?
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, I love puns. Yeah. I love puns, so I'll be making a couple more later, but about that, like if y'all didn't get that, look up how the process, look listening to it, like look how the process was, and you know it's so much. A meltdown is a lot too, you know, get it, because it's called meltdown. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. So
yeah, I think my process is just sit down, think of an emotion or however I'm feeling, just write it down. And then I think if the instrumental can't stand alone by itself, it's just not really worth pursuing for me.
Very true, very true. And your process, what I like about it is that it's very unique and it's very distinctive too. Like when you know, listening back and like hearing about your process, I'm like, okay, this is a real artist, you know, because if you use the same generic process, that doesn't make you, like, to me, it doesn't really make you a real artist because it doesn't make you different. Like, when I'm listening back, like, I'm seeing that you're this actual artist that's actually out there, you know, making a genuine art. And to me, that's one of the most incredible things in the industry, you know.
Yeah. I'm a very bipolar producer. I'll have some catchy hook. And then I'll just rub my hands together and be like, I don't even want to build up. I'm gonna throw in some drop here for no reason. And then maybe I'll have some, just a minute of silence, just to mess with my listener. But I think it's just sort of a game of cat and mouse sonically. And I really enjoy that part of my work.
That's fun. Like, your music is also fun too. Like, that's the thing too, like how fun it is and how you just like put in different things to make it different. Like, it's fun. Like, you actually make the music enjoyable. Like, I don't like how you do it, you know, it's beyond me.
I just think of it like a go-kart track, and you're building all these twists and turns, and I just call them sort of structural fuck yous to my listener. Like, we're gonna go this direction now, and you literally can't do anything about it, but you're more than likely gonna enjoy it.
100%, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad that you enjoy doing this, and that you're actually putting in a lot. Like, your music is fun. Like, I wish my music was more just fun. You know, not people, you know, caring about their caring about, you know, not even caring at all, just playing music just to have fun. Like, I will listen to your stuff 100 times a day and I will not get tired of it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I find a lot of artists just sort of following the same tropes and paths of what's good now. And I think it's just so detrimental if you can't do multiple things at once, genre-wise, and it's gonna. Why would you want to be a knockoff or sound like someone that the second best of someone who's already ahead of you in that in the sound?
Absolutely, absolutely. I hate knockoffs. Like, I think most people do, but I hate knockoffs. I hate people that are not, you know, trying to be out of their comfort area. Like, I want people to do something crazy. Like, I want people to do what you do. Like, I want people to do random things in their music, and I want to get a surprise. Like, that would be fun. Like, that's exciting. That's for real.
I totally.
Absolutely. And also, let's talk about the name. See, and I want you to tell the fans this too, because I'm sure they are dying to know. So when you're doing your form, I realized that Zale is actually your name. It's actually your real life name. So firstly, I've never heard a name like Zale. I've heard crazy, like, mixed names, but that I've not heard of ever in my life. now
it's in the baby book. It's at the end. People just get stuck on Zach.
Really?
Yeah, it's there. It's at the end. It means sea strength, and I come from a family of sailors. And yeah, I just thought my name was just good enough. I went through the loop of like coming up with cringy artist names, and I just stuck with my real name in the end because it made the best sense.
Well, yeah, I would have gone with Zale. I would have gone with Sea Strength as an artist name. Oh, that should be one of your the songs. You should call one of your songs Sea Strength as a tribute to you.
That would be a great. I think I am then. That would be a great name. And I'd use like sea. I could just sample the sea.
Yes.
Sampling Foley and stuff.
Oh my god.
I've been sampling whales a lot. A lot of strange noises out there to use.
Nice. Speaking of the sounds, too, you should definitely do ASMR. Like, you should do ASMR on your channel, because since you love sounds, you should definitely do ASMR. Like that needs to happen. Like, that would be really fun.
Oh yeah. I think that'd be pretty great. I mean, I have a lot of recorded Foley, me throwing like cinder blocks into like poles and stuff for snares.
Really? Wow. Like, you gotta send me that. I
looked like a
Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
No, you look psycho when you do it. I'm just saying, you look completely psycho out there recording Foley, and I don't know, it's just totally worth it.
It is. Like, even though it's weird sometimes, like, it's so worth it just to hear just different sounds, like, like, sometimes I'll just be in my room and I'll be just, like, doing ASMR just because, like, my favorite one is the one when you do it with your mouth. Like, I love the shh. Or I love tapping on my mic with my fingertips and make a ba 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 sound. Like, that's fun.
That is pretty fun. I mean, ASMR has really blown up in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
It's been pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think one of these days I'll post something on Instagram and I'll just be doing ASMR for like 2 hours, you know? Like, I'm probably gonna end up doing that one of these days very soon.
I'll listen in. I'd love to hear it.
Ooh, my first listener. Yay. Nice. Now, I realize also that you are followed by Tap Daddy. What's y'all's relationship like? Because I've interviewed him. You know, his interview is coming shortly, so just letting you all know that Tap Daddy, his interview is coming shortly. But what's y'all relationship like, and what's it like now?
Right now, he's so supportive. I always hop into his streams, hang out with him and his wife, and listening to my music and his music and other people's music. It's such a solid community. You guys should really just go on his Beat Stars or whatever he has right now and buy some beats, you know? It's the only way.
100%. He is the one of the best that I've ever worked with. I enjoyed him so much. His interview, Secret Secrets, over an hour, so.
Oh no, he's an amazing personality and a person.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. And I just figured I'd ask because he happens to follow you, and I know he doesn't follow. Actually, what am I saying? He follows everyone. I just didn't think
he might follow everyone.
The last time I looked at his Instagram, I found out that he had 846 followers and that he follows 821. So he must follow everybody except like the bots or like those weird like naked ladies on Instagram, which I'm getting sick of them like in my stories. They are disgusting.
Yeah, all over the place. All over the place.
It's like they're turning Instagram to a porn site.
You know what I get? I get these vibrator ads from these meme pages all the time.
That's a theme.
Like, I just want to see memes. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Like, vibrator. I've never heard of that. Usually, I'll get profiles where the girl says, I want a boyfriend. Or they'll post pictures and the girl has a butt crack on her profile picture. They'll have a weird link in her bio. Or him, like, I don't even know if it's a person, like, they just keep liking my stories, even though I don't even post for them, like, it's...
Oh, I get those too, like, the cam site bots that are always liking your stories and
yes!
Come check me out. Yeah.
Like, I get that on this, I also get on my personal Instagram, like, they just are everywhere, they're turning Instagram into Pornhub, and it's really sickening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is. Instagram is owned by Facebook, right? By Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And I don't see that stuff on Facebook as much as I used to. I think they're just moving them all down south.
Yeah, but I can see why, because people use Instagram more. Like Instagram's becoming like TikTok. It's becoming like this huge platform for people to actually. You know, put music out and all that, so I mean I see where the direction is.
100%. So guys, if you're listening and you need vibrators, hit me up. I got all the websites.
Oh my god, I can't believe you said that. Am I going to do that? what was I at? Oh! We were talking about those. See, one just liked on my personal, just right now, because I posted a story earlier. One of them just liked me. Ooh! And this one, she's not even wearing any underwear.
It's not even worth reporting at this point. There's just so many. There's just the war of bot and AI right now. And I think it's moving way too fast.
Yeah, I just kind of leave it alone at this point, you know, because if you leave them alone, they eventually leave you alone too.
Yeah. I think half my fans either think I'm a girl or AI because they hear my voice and either don't check my Instagram or anything. But I think it's always funny.
Yeah. And I can see where they get the girl part from. Some people think people are girls just because they put pink. Like, it's so 60s and 70s that people think you're girls just because you put pink in your profile. Like, I'm like, huh?
Are you a real man if you're not wearing pink all the time, though?
Exactly. Like, I just kind of leave that stuff alone, like, because... It's ridiculous. It's BS that people just still think that way. Like, you know, they do know that boys can like whatever they want, right?
Yeah, I think it's just like a stigma and a marketed color towards women. And I don't know. I'm taking pink back.
Bro, like, yes. And I would say the same thing about red, too. Like, red has been more marketed towards boys, but girls like red. Girls like punk red, and they love, like, covering stuff in red. So, I would say the girls are taking that back, too.
It's such a moody color, red. I mean, I made literally an EP called Red just because I thought it was... It stigmatizes and takes over so many moods and feelings at the same time.
It is. It's such a moody color. I mean, Taylor Swift made Red, and it's a very moody, kind of different album.
Oh my. Taylor Swift is a queen.
100%.
I'm backing up Taylor Swift.
100%. Aw, look at your road trip. The next time you have a road trip, let me know where you're going. Because that looked fun. Like, that's my one of the most favorite posts I ever liked. Like, of your road trip on the beach. Like, if you guys watch it, my favorite part is the jellyfish.
Oh, was that a... Yeah, that was Hawaii and Seattle.
Crazy.
I believe, yeah. That was a fun time. I mean, I was born on Kauai, and I left like a week later after my birth. So I've never been back since. And my girlfriend's family took me out, and I loved it.
Well, that is crazy. That's crazy. You only lived there for a week, and then you were just taken. Did you ever know why you were taken away, or they just did it out of just whatever?
So I was up for adoption, and my birth mom was just there. She had a green card from the Marshall Islands. So I was just immediately scooped up and brought back to the States, where I grew up in California. I grew up in this little town called Auburn, and it's actually funny because... it was like, you know the serial killer, the Golden State Killer?
I do, actually.
Yeah, there actually a sheriff or a deputy in my town during his time there. And it was just a town where people went missing. There was like abandoned asylums that we could go drink and smoke in growing up. And it was a wild, eerie place.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy. But I guess your birth story is even more crazy.
Yeah, adopted by white people, living it up in probably a nicer life than if I went back with my birth mom to the Marshall Islands, which is not doing well for a long time.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, years ago, Hawaii used to be a living place. Like, everybody said to go live in Hawaii. And, like, before I was a podcaster, like, I was just in school and people would just say, you should live in Hawaii. Like, and I was like, yeah. I was thinking,
oh, no.
Why? And they were like, ooh, it's so pretty there and it'll be a vacation every day. And I was like, why would I live somewhere where it'd be a vacation every day? That's why.
I mean, do you see how the actual people live, though, in Hawaii? Like, the actual natives are in, like, trailer parks.
Exactly, and exactly. And I was just like, why would I live there? And Hawaii is not the only... I've gotten that from New York, California, Florida, Washington, D.C. Like, they've all said in those vacation spots, you'll be on vacation every day. I don't want to be somewhere where I'm on vacation every day. I want to be in a calming... at home kind of thing, and that's why I'm grateful to be in the Lone Star State.
Yeah, dealing with tourists every day, I need someone
to play. Yeah, absolutely. I just need a simple, simple life.
I mean, did you like your time in California? There's so much out there.
I was supposed to years ago. For a trip with my friends, but we never went. I'm actually going to go to New York actually in a few months actually. So that is one that I'm very excited for. California, I've always been kind of icky about going there because I never liked California. All
A lot of the people that live in California don't like California.
And hold on, guys, I'm sorry if you live in California and I said that. The reason why I do not like it is because of the volcano activity that happens. California's on the Ring of Fire. If y'all have not studied geography in your lives, California's on the Ring of Fire. It's the biggest, it's one of the biggest populated states in the whole country. Number three, they market California so much. They put everything in California. They put Hollywood, they put Beverly Hills, they put all the shows there. Like, it wouldn't feel like home. It would feel like you're living the life of the Kardashians, which I never want.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in LA for a year when I was going to college for the one
And did you like
semester
it?
there.
Tell us.
It was, I developed a pretty, like, immediately I developed a drug problem. My alcoholism got worse. I was constantly, yeah, I mean, I mean, it was cool having shows and events to go to every second of the day. You could go to the beach, there was rampant homelessness and violence, and it was I just hated having the feeling of that I'm gonna probably die here and I have to document every second
Oh
of it on
my
my
God.
Snapchat. And yeah, I got out. I was just like, fuck this. I'm not gonna
The
die
thing
here.
too, they document everything. I think even the Hall of the Stars thing they do is even in Cali. Like, why did they put everything in California? Like, it's just, it's unfair.
I have no clue. I mean, maybe because it's just a lot of rich people moved here during like the gold rush and stuff like that, moved south. Maybe more talented people, like as a talented quote unquote, business execs, singers and stuff. Hollywood's just such a sham. I've been out there. It's just not fun.
Very valid because I hate Hollywood. Bullshit.
I remember George Clooney lives next to this park we went to one day, and we just sort of waited outside his gated door, just smoking cig not his door, but his gate. And we were just smoking cigarettes, and he eventually rolled up and we waved. And I was like, oh my God, that's like my biggest
My
star-studded
God.
experience ever. Just standing there looking creepy as hell. I swear we're going to the park.
That's everybody too. Like, they stalk the famous houses just to wave if people seeing if they'll notice them. Like, imagine if I stood and I was waiting for this famous person to come and I was like, ooh, look at me. Hey. Like, what?
No, I've had my famous experiences, and they were not out scouting for photos or trying to meet, like, or trying at all to meet them. It was just random occurrences, just living in the same area. And it's not like I'm like, here's my mixtape, please give me a chance. I find that so irritating, and if you can't be around a celebrity and talk to them on a human level, there's really no point in anything else.
Valid. You are not wrong at all. Even if I didn't go to California, I would have had the same comments as you. I would have said the exact same thing.
There's beautiful
Like
parts
what?
though. I mean, the Bay, if you can afford $100,000 a year, you can live there too.
Now, why would I go there to afford $100,000 and work there? I mean, that is.
Believe it or not, $100,000 a year is poor still in the Bay.
True, true. But you have to deal with annoying people every day, and that is not worth the time, energy, or the length and depth.
You do have to deal with the carjackings. I think it's become like the number one carjacking state or city in America. I swear,
Oh my
it's
God.
insane.
Thank God I am not in the state of carjacking. I'm in the state of Buc-ee's. burgers, barbecue, and country. Get it? Lone Star State country. Sorry, sorry. I just told you one more
Yeah,
pun.
you
I'm
get
sorry,
your
guys, but it's funny.
it's funny, all right.
Okay, now that's funny. Sorry. Sorry, y'all. I'm done. Sorry. I am.
I don't know, you get your fair share in California. You got your rednecks. You got a lot of Confederate flags. You
Oh
got
my
your
God, no,
neo-Nazis out
stop.
here.
No,
All the great parts of America.
stop. No. No, please just don't listen to what he said. I do not want politicians come at my door asking me why he said rednecks and just ignore what he said. He said nothing. All he said was just words that don't exist. Let's just ignore what's been said. Can y'all believe this? We've been ranting out about California, and it's literally the place where you get the most listeners that is in Los Angeles. That cannot be ironic.
Is it?
That's ridiculous. 29 listeners in LA, and that's from one of the most populated cities that actually listens. Like, we've been ranting on about it, and to think that you had listeners that are mostly in LA, what a disgrace.
I played a few shows out there. I don't know. They should bring me to LA then. If you guys love me so much, why am I not
Yeah,
playing
why don't you
shows
have
in
why
LA?
don't you have a Las
Hold on,
Vegas
Jack.
red I can't say a residency.
I should. Let me see. I've never actually looked. I haven't looked at my most played cities. Yeah, I have 12K listeners right now. That and Seoul, Moscow, and New York. So where are you guys at? I'd love to come
to
you.
He is.
I could teach you how to make my fried rice. I'm
You gotta
pretty good
teach
at
them
it.
how to make fried rice. Oh Lord, what will he think of next?
It's fun being Asian out in California, because it's like the feeder schools for where China would send their kids over to get into UCLA and all of that.
God, stop.
So,
I can't believe that's true.
It is, yeah. I mean, I came from like an all-white area of the Bay and then moved down to LA, and my apartment was just fully Asian, maybe one white guy named Dale. Coincidentally enough, and it was different mixing with people with my the same like skin color, which I was not used to, and messing
My
with different
God.
cultures.
Oh wow, okay. That's the other thing too, there's not enough black people in California. I can't think. It's not the most black, nope, I'm trying to think of a word that combines black and most blackful. Getting all blackful? That's funny. Not the most blackful country. Get it? Oh,
Watch
no.
out, we might get canceled.
Oh no. Y'all, just forget what I said. The blackful's not even a word. You need me, I'll be in the back.
I think if it's there's of course no segregation, but it feels like there is.
Well, there's always been
At least people aren't mingling. People aren't mingling, maybe. And then, of course, I mean, it's just centuries of hate and separation. And
I mean, even though
it feels so alien.
I mean, even though it's legal,
yeah.
Like now. You know, segregation, I feel like we're still doing it. Just like it's illegal to smoke and drink, but we still do it. It's like one of those things.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Did you? I remember reading somewhere that Missouri or Mississippi were talking about bringing back Jim Crow laws or something like that. I need to look more into that.
Oh my God.
That'd be terrible.
Really? Now forgive us, y'all, before we get any more racist, because if we get more racist, we're gonna be here a while. If we get any more racist comments, we're gonna be here a while, and we're gonna get canceled.
Five
and then
hours.
I'm gonna hear on my Discord, wrap it all canceled. It'll be all your fault.
At least I'll be known. Maybe I'll be the worst interview ever.
If you get it canceled, you will be the worst interview that I've ever had. Like, the interview with Get Up Project Media and Hawk Life and my first interview will seem even nicer to listen to back. It'll seem less tortured than watching my show get canceled, because of you will seem like a nightmare.
I blame
oh my
society.
God. There you go again, you were blaming society. You were one of those people that blame society. Okay.
It's not my fault. I don't take responsibility for
it. So we're blaming society because of your actions. Wow, we are back in the 1980s all over again.
I feel like with comedy and making jokes, there's always and I always just don't. Always could push it a little too far. Not gonna do that. Sorry, guys, you're not canceling me today.
Well, I want to actually add this. If you guys, and if you guys who are about 30 knows New Girl, and if you guys remember New Girl, that do you know that Winston and CeCe, they had a mess around? They had mess arounds. I think in every season they would have at least one. I think we're the new Winston and CeCe. We're the new mess arounds.
Oh my God! I remember.
I did actually.
I remember there was one terrible one where they. There was one obviously racist family, and they sent like a black wife over, and it was just like, what? I know the directors were thinking this was good TV, but I mean, what are you trying to accomplish?
No, stop! Stop! No.
Maybe.
No.
Oh, it was. Have you seen that episode?
And I still regret listening to it because just how much race. Racism's in it. What have you done? Now this is the worst. This is the worst.
Quick, ask me a question about music.
Oh my God. Sorry, y'all. I need to get into my serious space because I was just kidding. And that I haven't laughed in such a long time. So, sorry, I'm getting back into my space now. But this was really fun, to be honest. Today was just kind of like a really slow, chill day. So you definitely saved my life today.
I'm glad to save your life. It's going to cost you now like
10
rubles.
Yes. Guys, did you hear that? He said 10. Oh my God. Oh my God. Heather, 10 rubles. Okay.
That's 12 cents. I just had to look that up.
Well, since you have been a great podcast host, I'll give you 12 cents.
No, I don't. Please. I literally have been known to, when I go to a gas station or anything and they give me my change, I'll just throw it on the ground to give it to someone else. I don't want any more coins.
Well, here. Here you go.
I'm bad with money.
Here are your 12 cents. Thank you for your service to our country.
Okay. When a life is worth 12 cents. Oh my god.
You know, y'all, he is worth 12 cents, which in rap had the, rapping out the, how much that would be converted to 0.00000001%.
That's pretty good. I like those odds.
I like those odds too. That means that you win something. At least you got something, that one tiny, yeah, tiny percent. A tiny, tiny percent. And speaking of tiny fortunes, and tiny fortunes, actually, guys, is a pun because I was talking about you guys. Get it? Tiny fortunes. Come on, that's funny. Anyway, sorry. Back to serious mode. Thank you all so much for listening in. Dale, is there anything else that you would like to torture our fans with before we go?
Oh no, I think they've had enough this time. Every interview has been
you said every. Okay, I'm gonna get you for that comment. Okay, you took.
I've had a great time. I very much I appreciate and love coming through here.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I haven't had a good laugh in a long time. And I think this was probably one of the few interviews I've ever had where I can just joke and it was funny. Like, thank you from the bottom of my heart that has been out. From the bottom of my heart that Chloe's obviously holding and in pieces. Thank you.
Yeah, just put a disclaimer and be like, Salem Musical, you're not actually racist. Now you think that sentence interviews is totally fashion.
Oh my god. I'm gonna have a hard time naming. What should I name this episode anyway? We've talked about racism so much. What should I call it?
Zale, musically a racist, 2000 IQ. Just some clickbait title.
See, get those views. Zale and musically, and what's your favorite clickbait title?
Zale musically fix the race gap.
Okay. Let's see. Musically fix the racist gap. What's that?
Yes. Or solve. How about solve?
Oh, I like that even better. Solve the racist gap.
My fans are gonna be like, what the fuck? Not only is Zale not a girl or an AI, but he's also fixing the racist gap.
Well, at least I'll know now.
Now we're heroes, dude. We're literal heroes.
We're the unborn heroes.
Remember, guys, down below, donate 12 cents to me.
Really please. Thinks I'm worth 12 cents? Really thinks I'm worth 12 cents. You? Probably, come on.
Think about that when you get 10 people donating.
Wow, you're really funny.
You have a dollar. That's pretty
wow,
good.
You're really funny now. Really funny. But anyway, I know you guys have been tortured enough by Zale's horrible, horrible humor. So, and on that note, I hope you guys enjoyed this because right after this segment, you all will get a chance to hear Zale's new single, Bunker Boy, which is going to be out on Friday. I canceled dates, so I'm gonna look at my calendar. April 14th will be out. So definitely y'all tune in and listen to that. You can find Zale everywhere. Literally Google up the name and Zale's the only one that shows up. And if you guys need to figure out how his name is pronounced, just go listen to the terrible, terrible singer Gale, which you can listen to her song with A B C D E F U. You listen to Gale, remove the G and put the Z in it. That's how you make Zale. That's how I did it. That's how I know the name.
Yeah, go to your local mall, folks. Go get your girl a diamond. Don't go to Jared. Go to Zales.
That But anyway, I'll catch you guys on the other side. Y'all make sure to check out all his other music and tunes, and make sure you guys check out Watership Down, which we're celebrating its 2 month anniversary. Not really that special, but okay. We're celebrating that. Wrap It Out is everywhere you can find it, so make sure you share this show out to everybody and keep on supporting musicians because they all need it. And I hope you all have enjoyed our conversation, and I'll be sure to catch y'all on the flip side. So here's some nice wisdom for you. If you're gonna talk about racism, Zale's your uncle, and Zale's the new Uncle Sam.
Love you
Oh
all.
my God. Love you all. All right, peace out, everybody. I gotta stop him before he makes any more racist jokes. Cause I just made one. I need to stop. I am on a roll. This reminds me of the 1920s Harlem Renaissance. I need to stop. I am causing too much. I need to stop. But anyway, I'll catch you guys next time. And if you thought this was the last time he's on here, he'll be back soon. So get ready for more racist jokes and get ready for us to solve more mysteries and get ready for our next mess around. Until next
Are birds real? Question mark.
Well, until next time, until our next mess around, enjoy your night. Enjoy Easter and don't do anything that will cost you your life because Zale already did that. So, it's a mistake twice. Sorry, I had to put in one more, but anyway, I'll see you guys later. Bye, love you. Peace out. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight as we dove into a wonderful podcast episode. Now, in this following segment, you will get a chance to hear this artist's showcase because every artist that comes on the show requires to do a showcase. So, buckle up, get some popcorn, and enjoy the showcase. I hope you guys love it and check out the artist when you get a chance too. Hope you guys love it. Enjoy! Just stay.